All right, let's open our Bibles to Psalm chapter number 1 this morning. I do want to mention, again, I halfway apologize. I know we're talking about special offerings. We just took a huge one for Brother Luis, but we need to get heaters. You say, why? It's nice today. Wait till Tuesday and wait till next Sunday. We're getting into the cold time, and we don't know with everything going on in our society and the election nonsense. We still don't know what's going to happen with that until it goes to the courts and all that. And it seems like some of the governors, I'm not going to say which ones, but Oregon, Washington, California, are trying to do a little more shutdown. So, but we bought 12 heaters. We have two more we're fixing, and we're going to place them throughout here. And so it'll be cool. Because we're going to be tightwads. We're not going to actually use them. They're just going to look good. So, and that's not in our budget, to be honest with you. This tent's not in our budget. We keep that, keep our budget as lean as possible, to be honest with you. Trust me. Every PO we get, I look at it and I approve it because I want to make sure that we're doing good with our money. And so if you want to pitch in towards that, that would be great. Probably have to end up buying a few more. We'll see how it goes. And then the bus, that's just Christmas gift for Jesus. We're just starting that early. By the way, the buses will be here the first week of December. I'm very excited about that. There'll be fresh, brand new paint jobs on them. These are going to be tremendous buses. And so we'll probably never be able to run them, but they're going to look so good parked over there, okay? Just kidding. We're going to look at Psalm chapter number 1. Sunday nights, I'm doing a book. I'm just in a series on the book of Psalms. I'm not even calling it anything. Last year, at the end of last year, I think did 20 messages from Psalms, and I probably 5, 6, 10, or we have some on Sunday night. This is not part of that. On Sunday mornings, we're talking about real Christianity, real Christians. We want to be, we don't want to just be Christians in name only. We don't want to, and I when I say just saved, I'm not saying that like salvation is a small thing. Man, it's a big deal. I'm thankful for that. Thankful the Lord reached down and saved me when I was a teenager, and I look back at where my life could be. And I'm thankful that I didn't just get saved, but a couple years after that, God just totally transformed my life, took me out of all the nonsense, and I'm not perfect. I'm nowhere near that. Okay, I knew that you'd say that. As long as my wife doesn't say that, she already knows it, though. But so that's what we're talking about, just some things to help us to make Christianity real in our lives. And we're going to look at Psalm chapter 1 today. Commitment is a very key quality in any individual who exhibits any degree of success in their life. You look at somebody, and we're looking at success in general. There's some type of commitment in their life, and that can relate. One of my Bible classes this semester, I'm teaching biblical leadership, and we talked about the validity and the importance of commitment and how it makes you successful. But what do we think of when we hear of the word commitment? We think of good people doing wonderful things, typically to help people. You think of a husband who cares for his invalid wife. We used to have a man that came to our church. He was in my Sunday school class, and his name was Mr. Minks. And he lived over here by our old church building. And I'd visit him quite often. He lived by himself. After he'd been coming for a few months, he asked me to come with him to visit his wife. And the old Pacific Hospital, I don't even know what it's called now, over on about where I was born. They were going to name the hospital after me, but I said, no, that's too much. But across the street, there's a retirement or a rehabilitation center. And I met him there, and I went to see his wife. Something had happened. I forget exactly what had happened to her, but she was in there for the rest of her life. And Mr. Minks would go every single day, morning, noon, and evening to feed her personally and take care of her. You think of commitment, you think of somebody like that. Maybe in a secular sense, you think of a business owner who puts his resources and time on the line to get a company off the ground. Maybe it's a teacher that's dedicated, spending extra time. And by the way, no teacher anywhere is I'm sure, paid enough. But they actually care about their students. You think about that. Maybe soldiers who put their lives on the line. By the way, soldiers are good people. Yep. Military is not a bad thing. All these people that are like, I'm against the police and against the military. The only people against the police and military are criminals. Or people that just don't understand. Okay, if you don't have a military, you're open to anybody else. But these men we criticize put their lives on the line. And thanklessly in a lot of sense, in a great sense. But have you ever thought that commitment isn't just for good people? You know, bad people are committed. You know, Hitler was committed. By the way, Hitler, I don't understand what's wrong in our society. Hitler was not a good person. Joseph Stalin was not a good person. These were people that were committed, that killed millions of people, but they were committed to the wrong thing. People who cheat and steal sometimes are really committed to it. So commitment is not necessarily a good thing. And let me qualify that. Commitment is only as good to that which it is attached to, right? So if you're committed to something that's right and good, that commitment is good. If you're committed to something that's not good, that commitment is not good. That's profound right there. You should write that down somewhere. So commitment. Now, if we're going to be successful spiritually, we've got to have the right kind of commitments. It's very important. We have to be committed to the right thing. Commitment to the right thing can help us to get to where God wants us to be and to get to where, if you understand the Bible, to where you really want to be at. We're going to look at that this morning in Psalm 1. Psalm 1 is one of the most recognizable psalms in the Bible. It's one of the best, most well-known. Most of us, as the scripture was being read, we could either quote it by memory, or it was so familiar with us, we could go along with it pretty easily without even looking in our Bibles. We all know Psalm chapter 1. No specific author is given, but many think it was David. Although some of the psalms... we know who wrote it, and we know the time that they wrote it. It gives a little substance to what we're learning. But this psalm is just so point blank. You don't need to know a story behind it. You don't need to know, you know, who all the things. The truths on there are just point blank, straightforward, and that's all you need to know. It is a psalm of stark contrast. You understand, there's a contrast in lifestyles. The godly versus the ungodly. There is a contrast in outcomes. The blessed. Blessed means happy, joyful. Versus the cursed. There's a contrast in stability. Those that are secure, their roots are planted, and those who are unstable. We're going to look at some of these this morning. And then there's also a contrast in rewards. Life. Versus death. But the real contrast, if you look at all the things I mentioned, the key contrast that brings about the things that I just mentioned is the contrast in commitment. What each person, figuratively speaking, these aren't talking about specific a name, but they're talking about two groups of people, that the contrast is in their commitments. And commitments are always based on choice. Understand that. As we get into this, understand as we look at it, and I'm going to give you the angle we're going to look at it in a minute, but at whatever side of it you fall on, it's because you have chosen your commitments. See, we need to get past this mentality. We call it a victim mentality. One of the things that's been going on in our country is there's this big divide now, and they're trying to sit this division, and people, look, if someone is pushed down, it's because they've chosen not to get up. Yeah. Now, I understand, and you know, I got to throw this out. I can't stand that. Well, privilege. Privilege. Especially white people. I'm white privilege. I grew up in the ghetto. I grew up without a dad. I dropped out of high school. I said, why'd you drop out of high school? They were trying to kick me out. So I thought, no, you can't kick me out. I quit. Okay. Listen, you could choose to. Now, I'm not saying some people have a higher hill, a bigger hill to climb. I understand that. But listen, as Christians, let's not settle for second less. Let's quit grabbing excuses. Well, you know, I struggle with certain areas in my life because of my upbringing. Hey, listen, you're not talking to a choir boy. And I understand those type of things, but let's not make excuses, okay? God can help you to get to where you need to be. It's a matter of our choices. And I'm encouraging this morning to make the right choices. Now, when we look at Psalms chapter 1, we typically look at the blessed man, don't we? Blessed is the man that, and then dot, dot, dot. But we're not going to look at him this morning. Now, we're going to look at him as a contrast. But there is another individual or group that I want us to look at. Look at verse 4. Let's keep our Bibles open. Of course, as always, we're going to look at the scripture. You say, I don't have a Bible. Hey, we can help you with that. Yeah. If you go to that back table, we have all kinds of them back there. Say, I don't have any money. Talk to your Sunday school teacher. He'll buy you whatever one you want. He'll buy you the one with blank pages so you can fill in the scriptures where God forgot to put them in. I'm kidding. I'm kidding about that. Okay. Verse 4. Ready? The ungodly are, what's the next two words? Not so. So you have the blessed man, and you have the ungodly man who is a not so individual. And that's what we're going to talk about this morning. I don't want us to be a not so Christian. Amen. Now, as I get into this, I want us to understand that this is the wicked man. And I'm not saying anybody here would be wicked, okay? It's just like when you preach through Proverbs, right? You look at Proverbs, it talks about the foolish man. A fool is one who ignores and defies God's principles. If you're at church this morning, you're probably not foolish. But sometimes people who are not just broadly brushed as foolish might do foolish things in certain areas. How many of you know what I'm talking about? And so you're a Christian, and if you're a Christian, you're saved. You're not the ungodly man, but in some areas of your life, you may be a not so. You may be doing some of the things or not doing some of the things that you should that's going to make you in this category of being not so. And that's what I want to look at. If we look at the, give an honest evaluation of what the Bible says, the lines are very clearly drawn. God is not vague. There is no gray area here about nyeh, nyeh. God just kind of like, here it is. What side of the fence are you on? Very clear. By the way, that's a good thing. That helps us. It's nice to know where we're at, right? So we know where we need to go. So the lines are drawn and they're easily discernible. Verse 6 lays it out. Look at verse 6. This is the end of the chapter, and he just kind of, everything he said, he just kind of boils it down. Here's what he said. The Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. There are only two paths. Now, again, I understand that the ungodly are way out there, but sometimes, again, Christians choose in certain areas of their life to step into the area that the ungodly would step into. Now, you could be a worst case scenario where you've kind of gotten away from God and you can get into that. But I don't think you'd even be here and this morning if that was you. But a sense we can kind of step into that path, and we don't want to do that. There's only two paths, the way of the righteous. That's a life of trying to please the Lord and live his way. There's also the way of the ungodly, a life of pleasing myself and living my own way. Or we might do that in certain areas. But I just keep going back to verse 4. The ungodly are not so. They're not like the first three. If I in not following the way of righteousness, a person like that, the not so, will experience the judgment of the ungodly. By the way, I don't want to experience judgment. Man, I didn't want to go to hell. That's why I trusted Christ. Amen? So the judgment for my sin was taken off. But I don't want to experience just because of that anything that I would experience because I'm not living a right way. I wish Christians would quit judging everything by the fact that, and I've heard this from people, oh, I'm still saved. They do something that the ungodly would do, something God condemns or does not condone, and then they say, well, you know, I'm still saved. That's a really poor excuse for doing something. Why don't we think of terms of this? Will I be blessed? You say, that's selfish Christianity. Hey, if God offers it, I want it. If God says, blessed is the man, I'm like, where do I sign up? I don't want to settle for second best. If I don't have to, and you don't have to in your Christian life. And so this morning, I want us to look at this not so Christianity from two aspects. First of all, I want us to notice the results of a not so Christian. The results. You see, again, we have a choice as to how righteous we will choose to live, but we never have a choice as to the consequences of that decision. Understand that. All of us, because of free will, we have a choice. We can choose to live our own way. We can choose to ignore God's principles. That's our choice. God loves us. He gives us free choice. He tries to woo us to the right choice, but we do not have a choice in the consequences that result because of that action. You can't. That's God's domain. So if you can choose to ignore the Lord and do your own thing, you cannot choose how that will turn out. We have a choice as to how obedient we can be, but we do not have a choice as to what happens because of that choice. So what happens? What are the results of someone who is a not so? First of all, look at verse 4. They're driven. Look at verse 4. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. You see, the Bible gives pictures sometimes to help us to understand the truth he's teaching us. This is a good one. The ungodly will never experience the blessing and joy that the righteous have, although often their outward appearance may seem to say otherwise. Why? We have a wrong sense of prosperity. See, we'll sometimes look at someone that's living ungodly and we're like, everything's going good for them. Why? Because they're prosperous. Because, you know, they might have a good job. Things might be going well for them. Listen, things do not equal prosperity. Spirituality equals prosperity. If we would get that down, we would have a lot less. We look at people sometimes like, they have this or that seems like that. Or they're not going to church or they're not serving God. It seems like everything's going well for them. The story has not been told. The end has not yet come about. Spirituality is prosperity. And God says that if they're not spiritual, they're like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Chaff is a light shell that's around the kernel of a grain. And what they would do is, to get that off, they would get where there's a little bit of wind and they put it in a blanket or whatever and kind of throw it up and down and it would easily come off and the wind would blow it away and they were just left with the pure kernel. Because the chaff is worthless. The chaff is unstable. Any little small thing blows it away. And he says that is how a not-so individual is. They're unstable. You see, they go around and they're driven in their life by problems here or there and the consequences of their action, and there's no stability in their life. And they go from one problem to another. That's why people will come in sometimes and they want counsel about something. And a lot of times you have to discern because they don't really want counsel. They want to get out of the problem they're in. That's not counsel. If you come in and you have a problem, the way to get through the problem permanently is to get to the root. Yep. Once you get to the root, then the fruit is the problem. Now the problems are going to go away. But if all you do is deal with the unpleasant situation that's going on in your life, all that's going to happen, you're going to move that away and another problem's going to come because the root's not been fixed. That's instability. And so a person that's ungodly in some of their living, they're driven. Does it seem like in your life you just go from one problem to another? And I'm not talking about, there's some circumstances in life that are outside of our control. I understand, you know what I'm talking about. It just seems like I have nothing but problems. My relationships, my career, my life, everything that's going on. It just seems like I'm going from problem to problem. Hey, let's get to the root. Because you're the chaff right now. And there's probably an area in your life you need to correct so that that doesn't happen. Not only that, verse 5 tells us they're down. Look at verse 5. Therefore, the ungodly shall not stand in the day of judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. They are not going to have a very good judgment, by the way. You know, look, if a policeman pulls behind me, I do get nervous because I don't want a speeding ticket. But look, if you have nothing to fear from something, then you don't get nervous. Yeah. You know who gets nervous? People that have something to hide. Yeah. There's no confidence when you're called on the carpet. Now, none of us, in a sense, when we stand before God, are going to be confident. Are you with me? We can have some confidence, but come on, we're human. But some people, if you were to stand before God, you'd be like, oh, everything in my life that's going on, if I had to give an account to God, I wouldn't be very confident in that. That's what happens. These people don't have that. Their judgment's not going to be very good. 1 Corinthians chapter number 3, and I won't read it, but if you look through it, every work that we have is going to be manifest. By the way, if you're saved, you're never going to stand before God for your sin. Okay, God's not going to pull out the recorder and show every sin in your life. Why? Because that's under the blood of Christ. That's over. God just judges us. What did we do for him? How did our lifestyle affect our service for God? And that could be pretty daunting. But when we stand before God, we want to stand before God to the best of our ability, having sought to live for him and serve him the way that we should. Next, verse 6, they're damaged. They're damaged. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. This whole psalm is brought to a conclusion. If you're the righteous, God knows what's going on. God understands. You know, sometimes we live for God, we try to do the right thing. It's like, does God really know what's going on in my life? Does it really matter if I'm trying to live for him? I get criticized and I just feel like it's going nowhere. Hey, God knows everything you're doing. Yeah. Other people may not understand it. Other people may not know it. But let me just tell you something. God knows. He knows everything you are doing. And if you're doing the right thing, that's a good thing. But not the way of the ungodly. It's pretty blunt. They shall perish. What does that mean? It's not good. Now, if we're saved, we're not going to eternally perish, but I would hate to stand before God and him to look at us and like, you have no reward. You didn't do anything. You lived your own life. You didn't even live like a Christian. There's not much I can do with that. Let's make sure we're not like that. The damage that comes in your life, even just from not living right, not even from an eternal standpoint. Listen, you can escape all of the negative consequences that come from disobedience to Scripture by just simply living for God. Amen. Why would we want to experience things in life that we don't have to experience? Come on. Why would we want to just keep going from drama to drama to drama that we don't have to? And it damages everything in our life. It damages our relationship with God. Yes, sir. It damages our relationships and our families and our loved ones. It does. You say, I wish I had better relationships in my families. Just be a better Christian. Yep. Just live for God, because a Christian that lives for God, the qualities in our life that come will help us to have better relationships. Damages everything we're trying to achieve in life. It's like we take 2 steps forward and 3 steps backwards because we're not living right. And it damages our opportunity for real joy. So that's the results of a not-so-Christian. Now, if I ended there, that'd be a bummer. But I don't like bummers. So let's look at number 2, the rejection of a not-so-Christian. If the first point is, you know, we call them negatives, okay? More like consequences. The first point is kind of negatives of being a not-so-Christian. Let's look at what we need to do to reject being a not-so-Christian. Isn't that the whole point of it? We can reject it, and we must reject it. The way to reject being a not so Christian is to desire blessing. That's what God wants in your life. By the way, don't let anybody or even Satan talk you into thinking that you're so horrible you don't deserve God's blessing. Because let me help you with that. You are horrible. You don't deserve God's blessing. I'm horrible. I don't deserve God's blessing. That's why there's a key word. What's the key word? No. Thanks for trying. Just kidding. Same. Grace. We don't deserve it, but God says you can have it. That's where I want to be. God says you can have this blessing. I mean, he gave me salvation. I don't deserve that. I don't deserve anything. But you know what? If God says, here it is, you want it? I'm like, yes, I will take that. But I need to make sure that I'm placing myself on the path that will allow me to receive blessing and reject being a not so Christian. Yep. What are the thoughts? What will help us with that? Well, first of all, there's right people. Right people. Verse 1. Blessed is a man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. The ungodly, the sinners, the scornful, those are people. And when we place ourselves in any kind of direct contact or relationship with those people, we are placing ourselves outside of the parameters of God's blessing or joy in our life. We are. Because those people, and look, they're not Christians, I understand. But those people will push us towards a way that is not God's way. It's typically the way of the ungodly. And what will happen is now we're missing out on the blessing. Yeah. If we choose the way of the righteous, we have to choose righteous people. If we choose the way of ungodly, then we will choose ungodly people. You see, the people that are closest to you in your life are the evidence and fruit of the way you have chosen to live. Now think about that. It was very, very clear for me. When I chose to try to live the way of the righteous, I had to willingly choose to not be around my old friends. I loved them. I brought them to church. Some of them became Christians. Others did not and made it very clear. I didn't hate them, but I couldn't hang with them anymore. Because every time I was with them, we did not do Bible studies. Okay? We did unrighteous things. And I had to say, that's not who I am anymore. And I wasn't mean to them. When they came over, I didn't jump up on the table and say, you're godless. I said, no, I can't do that. And then, you know, we're going to church. Why don't we go to church? I had to be very careful. And so one of the evidences in my life that I was trying to go the right direction is I was very careful about who I allowed to get people to influence my life, be my companions. We have to be very careful. We let other people influence our thinking. That's what it says. Walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. Walking in the Bible, there's a picture of how we live our life. He says, don't live your life in the counsel of the ungodly, the advice or influence of those who do not know God. By the way, one of the things that's drastically wrong in our country is the bad influences are everywhere and no one will turn them off. We can't even think straight when it comes to what's going on in this world or in our country because we keep listening to people that aren't telling you the truth and suppressing things. They only see it from one side of the angle, and they're not trying to report anymore. They're trying to influence and push you to a certain side. You got to reject that. That could be on the radio. That could be on the television. That could be what you're listening to, the music. No wonder people are trapped. Listen, if you're listening to godless music, that all it does is promote immorality and stupidity like it's a normal thing, no wonder you're not going to live right. Look, no one got up in our church and preached against the music I was listening to. They did later, but the first couple months I was there, they didn't. But after I'd read my Bible, and then when I turned my music on, there was something inside me that said, you know, what I just listened to has nothing to do with what I just read. In fact, it's a complete opposite. And so I got rid of all of it. But there's influences everywhere, and you've got to choose to reject those. Well, you know, they said if I'm this, I should be this. What does God say? By the way, you need to be very careful. You go to school somewhere, and it's not even math anymore. Your teacher wants to get up and tell you what to do and how to live your life. Listen, teach me what 2 + 2 is, and I'll figure out how to live my own life. Keep your mouth closed. And by the way, that's what's going on in our school system. That's why all these little snowflakes running around that won't get a job and live in mommy's basement and want to sit there and whine about life. Listen, get out of your mom's basement. Quit listening to nonsense. Get a job and become a man. That was free. That leaked out. I don't know where it came from. Sorry about that. Quit looking for excuses. Anyhow, he says, nor standeth in the way of sinners. That's letting others influence our behavior. See, they want to influence our thinking, but also our behavior. Yeah. I'm not going to willingly go around people whose actions are going to be counter or 180 degrees opposite of what God says my actions should be. We got to be very careful about that. Well, I'm not going to do it. I'm just going to hang around them. That won't last. That will not last at all. Be very careful. We allow them to push or change the way we live. And then he says, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, letting others influence our belonging. Scornful person is someone that's critical of that which is right. Be very careful. Well, you know, this Christianity, you think Jesus is wonderful. And like, well, you know, a Christianity thing, blah, blah, blah. And they start spewing their nonsense. Listen, they have no clue what's going on. Quit listening to people that are And I found this. Typically, people get negative towards Christianity because they don't want to live it anymore. Look at their lifestyle. Their life's a mess. There's nothing but drama, and they're going to sit here and criticize Christianity. Why would we listen to that? Where's the fruit in that? It's bad fruit. I don't want the fruit. And by the way, sometimes people just don't know better. But sometimes there's Christians. Well, you know, you go to that church. Yeah, we do. Amen. We go to a church where we actually want to bring the Bible. Amen. And we don't want to play secular music and all that garbage in church. Yeah, that's us. Okay, we want the truth. I don't want to be lied to. I hate being lied to. I hate it. Back in the early days of our church, when our kids were young, our church was helping a lot of kids that were like runaways and things like that. And there were many times we'd let kids stay with us for a while to help try to get them on the track. Now, I had rules, don't get me wrong, but I had one rule for sure: you're getting kicked out. Don't you lie to me. And there was two of them there, and one of them, they did something. I brought the first one in because I knew that one would not lie to me. Like, what happened? Well, you know, they just like, that's why I kicked Brother Two out. He's a liar. Just kidding. And I brought the second one in. I said, hey, did you do this? No, huh? He said, no, I didn't do that. And I'm like, I already talked to so-and-so. And then you see their face change. And I'm like, you're done. I love you, but you're done. I can't have someone here. Look. If you're struggling, that's one thing. But lying to me, I don't do well with that. Come on. I don't want to be lied to. And when people are lying about, well, you know, that Christianity is a bunch of junk and blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, I'm kind of been digging it for like 35 years now. Come on. It's kind of worked for me. Yep. I kind of enjoy Jesus. Yes, sir. Don't let them fool you, please. There's also, if you're gonna reject it, there has to be the right pleasure. Right pleasure. Look at verse 2. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. Yep. This is the word of God. But the key word there is delight. You get pleasure in something. I'm going to ask you a question and answer yourself honestly. What brings joy in your life? Now just think for a minute. What do you get excited about? What is very important to you? What will you willingly give your time and energy to? You know, most people, we are clueless. Our country's falling apart, but hey, the Lakers and the Dodgers won the championship. By the way, I used to be a fan of both of those. That's not life. You know? What are you doing for God? Well, you know, I'm not doing anything for God, but hey, you know, the stocks are up. Well, let's see how that is in a couple months, okay? It might be a little iffy here. I got a raise at work. Nice. I tell the guys on the job site, you want a raise? Get in the scissor lift. It's the only raise you're getting. But like, if these small little things drop into place, but the big important things, look, either way, no matter what's going on in life, you're in a fight for the future of your family and your children.
Yes, sir.
Listen, I'm not old. Come on, Lucero. But I don't have as long to live as my grandchildren. What are we leaving them? We better leave them something. And so I want to delight. What do you delight in? You ought to delight in the law of God.
Amen.
Now, you only need to do that two times a day, day and night. What does he mean when he says meditate day and night? It doesn't mean I walk around my whole life just muttering scripture. But you know what it means? The Bible is at the forefront of my mind and my life, and I think about it anytime throughout the day or the night. Something comes into your life, you need to make a decision. You know what your first thing is? What would scripture say? Is there a Bible verse that would talk about that? That type of thing. But see, what we typically do is, man, what do I got to do to figure this thing out? And then we try to tack God on at the end. That doesn't work. But do you delight in the scripture? Now, I know if you're a new Christian, you read the scripture, sometimes you don't get it, right? Okay? Don't get bogged down in Leviticus. Numbers is coming. Well, Numbers is there's things there you may not understand. Keep going through it. It's all good. And the more you read it, the more you'll start to understand it, and the more you will love it. But don't stop. Okay? Very important. We have to have the right pleasure. Are you as excited about God and the Word of God as you are about anything else? And then you know what else happens? We get the right prosperity. Verse 3, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in due season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Now remember the ungodly, what were they like? The chaff. The wind just blows it everywhere. You know what the godly are like? They're like a tree planted by the rivers of water, deep roots that are so close to that river of water, it's constantly getting that water, and so it's healthy, and it's growing, and it's fruitful. The leaves aren't even falling off. It's doing great. And then he gives a promise. Whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Wow. How would you like everything you do to prosper, to be successful? Now, we got to think about that for a minute. What is that tied to? It's tied to your delight and your meditation of the scripture. Because if not, then we would say, okay, I want to do this and make a lot of money. You're successful. That's not how it works. You see, when we are tied to the Word of God, we will want to do what the Word of God says in our life. And whenever we're doing what the Word of God says in our life, we're going to be successful. And it's just going to branch out in our life. I think of Joseph, right? Joseph, no matter what he did, no matter where he landed, he always ended up on top. He gets thrown by his brothers and he sold as a slave. He goes to Potiphar's house. Next thing you know, he's in charge. His wife lies, Potiphar's wife lies about him. He's in jail. Bummer, right? No, he's now the warden. The warden sits around drinking coffee and doing nothing, watching YouTube videos. And Joseph is running the whole place. And then all of a sudden, he goes from jail to vice president of Egypt, actually running the place. Why? Because Joseph loved God. He always tried to do what God said, and God prospered him in everything that he did. A not-so-Christian doesn't get that. Now, here's our problem, and then we'll be done. You know, as Christians, we think that we are the exceptions to the rules. We'll hear something in the scripture. We'll read something in the scripture. We'll hear something preached. We'll hear a truth. And we'll think, yeah, that's for everybody else, but you know, I can get away with that. There was a news story in the 80s on one of the news stations. This guy, what he did is he set up this rifle. It was a loaded gun. He attached it to a chair. Somehow he had set this thing up to where at a very specific time it would fire one bullet. And it was spread out over the next several years. At one time, you're going to pull a trigger. Somehow he loaded it to where the bullet would come in at that precise time. But until it got to that precise time, that bullet wasn't coming out. People lined up to stand in front of the gun and pull the trigger. Because they figured, between now and several years, a bullet's going to come out. You know what? I'm not going to be that one. Isn't that how we think? Now look, we're not playing a game where a bullet's going to come out in 50 years and you're probably going to survive. We all think that, right? Well, you know, I know God says this stuff, but I can still violate it and I'll be okay. No. Let's not end up being a not so Christian. Let's follow the prescription that was given to us very clearly here this morning. Let's stand together, please, if you would, just for a minute. And let's be still for a minute. Let's just close our eyes. I know we're not coming down to the front, but I want us to be still and I want us to think in our minds. You see, the reason we have this at the end, the invitation, because I want us to think about the truths we learned. And if God spoke to us about something, I want us to take this minute here with our heads bowed and our eyes closed, and I want you to communicate with God. Maybe you are sensing in your life because of some of the things that are going on that maybe there's some areas. I'm not saying, I don't know everybody here. Maybe there is, but I don't think there's anybody that's just 100% sour, ungodly individual. But maybe there's areas of our life we're slipping into. It could be areas where no one knows. We're just kind of sneaking off by ourselves. And maybe we need to fix those areas in our lives so that we're not one of these Christians that I hope you want to be blessed. I want to be blessed. Remember, we preached on Jabez, and everybody preaches on Jabez. God answered his prayer. What was the first thing he said? Bless me indeed. God has no problem with that. We got to give him something to work with. Maybe there are some people that you're allowing in your life, maybe physically or through technology, you're allowing them to influence you, not towards God, but actually away from God. Maybe you need to make some changes there today. Maybe you've been listening to some people that are scornful, people that are trying to lead you down a wrong path. Let's just follow the Lord, delight in His word so that He can bless us. Maybe you're here this morning and you need to take the first step to blessing that maybe you've never taken, and that step is salvation. See, God blesses His children. And if we don't know Jesus Christ as our Savior, then we are not one of His children. If you're here this morning and you're not 100% for sure that you will go to heaven when you die, you have some doubt. You couldn't give a reason from the Bible why you would go to heaven. And you'd like to know that. We can help you with that. If you're this morning, you say, no, Pastor Myers, would you please pray for me? I am not 100% for sure that if I were to die today, I'd go to heaven. But I'd like to know that. Pastor, would you pray for me? No one looking around. If you'd raise your hand, I'll pray for you. Anybody like that at all? Anybody like that at all? Our Father, we thank you for loving us. We thank you for your word. Lord, it is only of your grace that you save us, but it's also only of your grace that you offer to bless us, to work in our lives. And I pray, Father, that you would help us this morning to desire that. I pray no one listening to me this morning would live the type of life in whatever area of their life that would cause them to not just lose out on your blessings, but to experience consequences because of their actions. Be with us as we go our way until we meet together tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.